Okay, I'll go ahead and call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting February 9th. If the audience would join the board.
Pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First is public comment, section number one. This comment period is for the public to address topics on today's agenda. Not seeing any movement, we will recognize our employees for their years of service. You want to do it by? All right. So we will do this by the years of service. We'll call the first group. You guys can come up. Alyssa wants to take a picture, and you'll get your you'll get your goodies. So these are 5 years, 5 year employees. Sandra Fitzgerald from the Recorder's Office, Christy Mackey from the Auditor's Office, Melinda Paris from the Attorney's Office, Alan Lavender from the Sheriff's Office, Paul Tooth from the Board of Supervisors, Karen Warren from Facilities Management, Teresa Smith from the Attorney's Office, Cynthia Jones from Animal Control, Matthew Corey from Environmental Health, Adam Christensen from the Sheriff's Office, and Amy Zirka from the Attorney's Office. All right. I already got my
comment. Now, that 40-year, the 40-year person is going to give a speech.
Yeah.
What? Do you want it in the picture?
Yes. At least the chair.
Yes, the chair. All three of us.
All three of us.
If I'd have known that, I'd have worn my tux. I'll stand up here.
Peanut butter.
Thank you. I should just stay up here. That was
okay. For 10 years, Latifah Faisal from the Attorney's Office, Rhonda Sykes from the Treasurer's Office, Anthony Rowe from the Sheriff's Office, Rodney Briggs from the Sheriff's Office, Shelley Grimard from Facilities, Ron Chelman, Facilities, Vicki Hillock from Secondary Roads, Catherine Basilinski from Environmental Health, James Schroeder from the Sheriff's Office, Dennis Clapp, Secondary Roads, Joel Navratil, Sheriff's Office, Elizabeth Quinn, Sheriff's Office, Anna Link, Animal Control, Aaron Rewerts, Community Service, Jeff Scott from the Sheriff's Office.
Good.
15 years. Janice McConnell, Community Service. Aaron Borden, Facilities Management. Melanie Worley, Community Services. Michael Evans, Secondary Roads. Brett Johnson, Sheriff's Office. Tim Meals from the Attorney's Office.
Yeah, he could have used the mic too.
And the list gets shorter. 20 years, Lisa Markley, Auditor's Office, David Bauder, Secondary Roads, Patricia Hillman, Auditor's Office, and Jim Hovick, Secondary Roads.
Wow. You may have taken a picture, huh?
Can we get one more?
Yeah. 15 years, guys, have to come back up.
Yeah. And we'll move Paul in next to you, and I'll be on the outside, so I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is very perfect.
Oh, okay. Ready?
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
about 25 years. Cal Pearson, Facilities Management, Deb Childroth. Board of Supervisors, Deb says hi from a beach in Mexico somewhere.
Right.
Sherry, Red Eyes Community Service. Joe Quaker, IRBN, Scott Wall, Auditor, and Scott Kickbush from the Sheriff's Office.
All right. Well, you don't want it. I can auction it off in my name.
Where's my microphone? We thank everybody.
No, it's got everybody. I'll get one. That's it.
One more.
Now, I have to ask, have you had anyone serve longer than Dorothy?
We had Jane Page.
Jane
and
Page.
Dorothy.
Yep. Okay, well, the last but not least, 40 years, Dorothy Lewis.
Come on, Billy. No. Will we're out.
Not going to do it.
She's not going to do it.
Nope.
She's
on the way. Oh, Darby. What a milestone. Wow. You're hoping for at least another 10, is that right? You're hoping for at least another 10?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you very much
for all the work you do.
You're under no obligation to stay. Get back to
calling me.
No, you have to stay. I don't know that for sure. Next, we'll have an agency report, Center for Creative Justice annual report, Christy Boyer, interim director.
Good morning.
Hey.
You've been here a long time. You got here early.
Yeah. Prepared.
Christy, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Yes, go ahead.
CCJ has offered adult probation services since 1974. We're the only nonprofit agency offering probation services in Story County. In fact, we are the only one in Iowa. To the best of my knowledge, we're the oldest privatized probation agency in the nation. Probation accomplishes two goals: rehabilitation and public safety, rehabilitating the offender while keeping the community safe from further criminal offenses. Assigning a client to probation allows the client to remain part of their family, continue employment, and otherwise remain a productive member of their community. We're all better off having these citizens as taxpayers instead of tax burdens. The alternative to probation is simply paying a fine and or serving jail sentence. This option offers little or no rehabilitation efforts and absolutely no supervision. Probation officers hold the client accountable for their actions while helping the client identify areas of change. Probation clients are ordered to many types of programming, including substance abuse evaluations and treatment, drinking driver's school, mental health evaluations and treatment, anger management, batterers education programs, and parenting classes. In addition, probation officers often help clients secure resources such as employment. Our courts represent our communities, and the Story County courts continue to see CCJ as a valuable sentencing option. CCJ handles more probation cases and the Department of Corrections itself. In 2015, CCJ has assigned 78% of the criminal cases assigned to probation in Story County. The remaining 22% were assigned to the Iowa Department of Correctional Services. DCS only receives offenders that have committed a very serious crime or a violent crime or someone with a long criminal history. CCJ fills a very large gap in our justice system. Without CCJ, these guys would not receive probation or the benefits offered. Our agency's current active caseload is 629 clients. Our outcomes remain strong. success rate. Historically, 80 to 90% of CCJ probation clients have successfully completed their probation. In recidivism, 85 to 95% of the clients that successfully completed their probation did not reoffend the following year. We are very proud of our outcomes. In calendar year 2015, 96% of the clients that are required to obtain a substance abuse evaluation did obtain one. 89% of the clients that are required to complete a substance abuse treatment did successfully complete that treatment. 95% of the clients that are required to complete a drinking driver's course did successfully complete that course. 79% of the clients that are required to obtain a mental health evaluation did obtain one. 89% of the clients that are required to complete the mental health treatment did successfully complete that treatment. 68% of the clients that are required to complete the valid education program did successfully complete that program. 90% of the clients required to attend anger management did successfully complete that course. Probation at CCJ is cost effective. It costs over $30,000 to house a person in an Iowa prison or a county jail for 1 year. Taxpayers pay for incarceration. A 1 year probation case at CCJ can be handled for as little as $300. This fee is paid by the client. Probation is 1% of the cost of incarceration. In summary, every CCJ client is a person that lives and works right here in our communities. They are our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends, and possibly our family members. Therefore, every client assigned to CCJ is a reinvestment in our communities. I'm proud to work at CCJ, and I hope you are equally proud to support our agency. Thank you for the opportunity to speak here today. I would welcome any questions.
First question is, since we're the only one and we have been doing this for so many years, you would think that we would serve as a model for other counties. Why do you think this is not spread beyond Story County? And the reason I bring this up is right now in the legislature and through the governor, there is a movement for criminal justice reform in our state, but nowhere have I heard some reference to the service that CCJ provides. And some, I'm intrigued now because I do have a contact with the legislators that is pushing this agenda, and I'm wondering if a short brochure or publication or something that I could get to just talk about what's happening here in Story County that they might want to take a look at to see if other communities might find that. But do you have any feeling for why this is not spread beyond Story County?
I think a lot of people probably haven't heard of a nonprofit probation office. We've gone to the national conferences, California, different places, and we haven't found anyone, I think, in our nation that's like us, so we're very, very unique. So I just think a lot of people, you know, whenever they think of criminal justice, they think of the Department of Corrections. They don't really think of maybe a nonprofit probation office such as ourselves. I would definitely be happy to provide you with material to take to the legislature. And hopefully, you know, get the word out that an agency such as ours is really a benefit to, you know, all communities.
Well, thank you. And thank you for the service. And I've, like I said, my wife used to serve on the CCJ board for many years, and I'm very familiar with the work that you all have done. And just can't thank you enough for the service and what it's meant to the citizens and clients that have come through that have been able to be rehabilitated and back in the community and making viable contributions. Sometimes people do get involved in things that they make poor choices, and they need opportunities to rectify that and move forward. So I appreciate the work that you guys are doing.
Chrissy, thank you. Thank you very much. Next will be consideration of minutes from February 2nd. Move approval.
Second.
So motion second. Are there any additions or corrections? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Two. Aye. Consideration of personnel actions.
Move approval.
Second.
So motion second. Anything additional? Clinton.
Aye.
Sanders.
Aye.
Two. Aye. Consideration of claims.
This is yours, Rick.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion to second on the claims. Anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Aye. Consent agenda. We need to add utility permit 1649.
Move approval with no change.
Second.
Motion to second. Anything further? Clinton?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Aye. No public hearing items. Additional items. Discussion and consideration of Story County Detox Services funding policy. Carl Webb. Morning, Carl.
Morning, Carl.
Hello. Today what I brought for you for your consideration is the Story County Detox Services funding policy. Previously, our Story County MHCS management plan addressed detox funding, and since we've moved to regionalization, we felt the need to develop a detox policy so that we have that covered. So I worked with Deb Schildrath and Ethan Anderson in the county attorney's office to develop this policy. We've outlined here the criteria that a person would need to meet in order to be eligible, what our contracting and reimbursement process would be for that. We've kept, if someone is eligible, previously we could fund up to 3 days for detox in the hospital, and we've kept that the same here in this policy. We mirrored the regional criteria as far as income and resources so that those are treated the same also. We included an appeals process and had some discussion with Ethan on this process. The first step is the reconsideration where that would, if someone appeals, it would come to myself or a designee within our office to do a reconsideration on that appeal. And if that was unsatisfied for the individual appealing, they could then go on to step two, which is to appeal to the Director of External Operations and County Services. And then that individual would work through the appeal request. That's a little different than some, like our general assistance appeal policy. I know that speaks to that final step coming to the Board of Supervisors. And so that is something that's a little bit different, I guess, also for your consideration there. I don't know if you've had a chance to look through it, if you have any particular questions on the policy.
And then these are county dollars as opposed to regional.
Correct.
Dollars, yes. And that's what we have. Now we have this standalone policy.
Correct, yes. If someone is on a dual civil commitment, we can look at funding for that through the region because it involves mental health. But if it's strictly just detox services, it would be county dollars.
Okay. And so for individuals up to 150% of the federal poverty line, we'll pay 100%.
Correct. Yeah. And then there's a sliding fee above that.
Yeah. Okay. I move approval.
Second.
I have a motion and a second to approve then the Story County Detox Services funding policy. Is there anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Aye. That's approved.
Thanks, Carl.
Thank you.
Discussion and consideration of July 1st, 2016 health insurance renewal. Alyssa Wignall and Debbie Dean. This is the moment we've all been waiting for.
Before I start, we're going to go out to the answer, huh? Hi, Debbie.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
We did receive our renewal rates through Coventry. For Aetna, the parent company. As you will see in the information that we put on there, the rate did increase 12.5%, which we were expecting a double-digit increase. We have a fairly new plan. We've only been in effect for a full 7 months, on the 8th month of our new plan. Still really good rates for single and family plans with how our benefits are designed. We have a really good plan, two plans for our employees. The plan design is exactly the same as it was last year. There were no changes made on that. the rates that you'll see on this quote does include all of the Affordable Care Act fees that, that we're required to pay. Those are added on to our monthly premiums, and those are passed on since we are fully insured through Coventry. So if there's anything Debbie wants to add.
Could you talk a little bit, Debbie, about how is this rate increase average? I'm sure there's a sliding scale throughout the state. Is it the size of the entity? What are the kind of the criteria that kind of determine the rate? And I raise this because, you know, when I serve on IMWCA Workers' Comp Board, we go through this and always talking about that, the railroad reports and everything else, and looking at our rate structure and so forth. So from your standpoint, what are the kind of criteria that you guys experience when you take a look at the coming up with a rate for clients such as ours?
Well, when any of the vendors, whether it would be Aetna, which is Coventry, or Aetna, which is our vendor, or United Health or Wellmark, any of them, they will look first and foremost at medical trend and pharmacy trend. And both are running higher than last year. And pharmacy trend is running actually quite a bit higher than last year. Then they'll look at the demographics of your group. How many are enrolled? How many started the year? And, of course, as Alyssa just mentioned, there's not a lot of data here, but how many started in July? How many are there now? What percentage of those are female? What percentage of those are male? What's the average age? What type of claims are we having? Are we pooling at a claim rate that would effectively have a loss ratio higher than they're even collecting premium for at this point? But generally, trend and demographics and claims are the three major components that make up your rate increase or decrease. And there are very few of the latter anymore. Not to say it never happens, it seldom happens. And this year alone, I've seen pharmacy trends, just one component of all of those that I mentioned, running anywhere from 8 to 11.5%. So to have a scenario where they have very little claim data, but yet, as you would expect, when you begin a group and you begin with a fairly large population, you find yourselves often having more claim data in the beginning than what will level off to be. But needing a renewal as early as we need it, and most large public entities need it, they have to use just a few months' worth of claim data to set this renewal.
Mm-hmm.
So that, along with the demographics and trend, to come in at 12.5% is actually less than what I anticipated.
Second question, since this is Coventry, and I was familiar in the past with the ISAC policy and with the new wellness initiative that's there, do you foresee that if the wellness component under the Coventry may be something to kind of help bring down the overall rate in the future, or is this not a part of what they offer?
Well, and I think you probably are referring to the ISAC provision, where if you participate in the well-being program, you can find yourselves as an organization receiving lower rates. And although Coventry or Aetna sponsor well-being activities within the plan, it's not quite the same as what you experienced with ISAC. However, what I would say is even as important, if maybe not more so, is the well-being program that the county has begun, and to try and encourage people to do their biometric screens, do their health risk appraisals, participate in the well-being program. Because as we look 2, 3, even 4 years down the road and give consideration to potentially going to a self-funded platform and buying reinsurance, that well-being program matters more than almost anything. Because if you can help keep your well population well and help to engage those who maybe have a couple, 2 or 3, biometrics that are not as best they could be, if you can help to improve them, you can definitely help to lower the cost of insuring your population. So what we do as a county is equally as important, if not more so, than even what Aetna or Coventry does for us.
Thank
Absolutely. And we're starting to build a history.
Right.
Which is good. Can you tell me what it does? So the 12.5% increase, tell me what it does to our employee contribution. Where were they and where are they going to be?
Of our $1,000 deductible plan, the county pays 99% of that. So
1% is going to be about
5%. It's going to go up like 50 cents a
okay.
month for the employee. We did pay 90% of the family plan. I think I figured this one is going to be, sorry. $15 a month.
Okay.
Now on the $500 plan, it's a little bit more because we only pay 90% of a single plan and 80% of a family plan. But the bulk of our employees are on that $1,000
plan. Right, but you're talking about less than a dollar.
$15 a month.
Increase.
Or if they take a family plan. One thing I did want to let you know, all of you, I'm sure I've told you this before, going into July on our old plan, when we were with ISAC, we did not have the DLP employees anymore. We had 32 employees on our health plan in June. Right now we have 185 contracts through Coventry, and we have 403 individuals that are insured, you know, with all our family plans. So our numbers are there. We're not quite at the 80%, 85% where I'd like to see us being there. We've had a lot of employees just recently contact us for information when renewal is. So I look for us to be close to that, maybe 200 contracts at the beginning.
And we had budgeted for a 20% increase, right? So.
Okay.
I'm glad we didn't have to use that.
We are too.
So we need a motion to approve that. Accepted, I guess.
We accepted the quote? Yeah. So I'll move that we accept the quote by Aetna.
Second.
Motion and second to accept the health insurance renewal quote. Anything further? Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Debbie, thanks.
Thank you.
Hope the drive wasn't bad this morning.
You know, it was wonderful. I was surprised. Yeah. Clean dry roads the whole way.
Good. Just be glad you don't have to go to Mason City.
I'm very thankful. I don't have to go to Mason City.
Yeah. Okay, discussion and consideration of purchasing the property located at 975 West Lincoln Way in Nevada, which is currently the known as the Story County Animal Shelter. I'll start the discussion. We've had informal discussions for a year and a half,
2 years
about this. You guys moved into the building 7 years ago?
In October.
7 years ago in October, and it's my understanding that the master plan maybe, or the hope was that if the owner decided that he was ready to sell this building, that Story County would consider purchasing it. So that's at the point that we're at. We're currently in a one-year lease with the owner that expires the end of the end of fiscal year, end of June. I know the three of us met out there here several weeks ago at the animal shelter, took a tour of it. We've had the building. We split the cost of an appraisal, and that's been a year or so ago. We had the building appraised. There's been two different occasions here in the past few weeks. We had the public safety, the fire chief, I guess, for lack of a better term. Ray Reynolds was up there and went through the building, and then somebody from I think ICAP sent somebody out there for a loss of prevention and have gone through the building. So
and then there was an additional insurance company that came through.
Okay.
You might want to repeat that in case.
Yeah. There's been an additional representative from the insurance company that has come out and gone through the building. So we've had a lot of discussions. I know Rick spent time thinking maybe we would be better off if we could locate some suitable property that was currently owned by the county and erect a new facility. We've had some discussions about building this new facility out of the old county home, northwest of Nevada. where the IRBM currently has their shop. The county owns that ground out there, and there's been discussion about building a facility out there. For me, I think the facility that we're currently in suits our needs very well. There is some positives to building a new facility on county-owned ground. For me, though, the negative of that is the location where the county home, that facility is. This time of year, it's difficult to get to. May or may not see a snowplow after a snow event for a day or so, which is the nature of being on a gravel road in any county. I think if we were simply in the business of warehousing stray animals, that would be a good solution. But that's not the business that we're in. Sue does a fantastic job with the shelter and with the volunteers, and that center sees a slew of volunteers every year. Maybe even to the point where you've almost got more than you can handle.
Well, we don't turn anyone.
Why don't you go ahead and come up to the table? You don't want to turn anybody away, but
can we schedule things? I mean. We try to schedule things so that we don't have 30 out there at one time and two the next, you know. So we've got a pretty good thing going.
Right.
And our volunteers, you know, we just had a group call from a construction engineering class that wants to come over and paint our outside shed as a service project. So our volunteers come in all, you know, not everybody comes in for the animals. They'll do other projects for us that we need. We're very fortunate we have them. And we built a really good rapport with them, and when we have events, they'll come and help us. So,
and I think that's what makes the shelter as successful as it is.
Mm-hmm.
Another sign that it's a successful shelter is that many years ago you established a Friends of the Animal
mm-hmm.
Fund.
Yes.
And that's where your donations go.
Right.
Donations to shelter. That fund is a very healthy fund,
yes.
And it's to the point where you, as the manager of the fund and more or less, and the director of animal control, you made the offer to from that fund to foot half of the purchase price of the building, and then any remodel that needs to be done, or we talked about. A small addition on the west end to house livestock temporarily until we can find a permanent home. Because that's something right now that we're lacking.
We're lacking it, and the person who is housing it, the livestock right now, is going to be moving within the next 4 to 5 months.
So I think the time has come for us to make a decision on what we're going to do with this building. We either need to purchase it. If we decide not to purchase it, then somebody's going to have to step up and find us a place to build a new one, because I don't know if the option is there to continue to lease it. We've leased it for a good many years. I think if, and I'm confident that the owner is ready to sell, or we wouldn't be at this point in our discussion.
Well, I think, you know, the rent money we pay out, you know, it'd be nice. I mean, we're using the rent, but we're not getting anything back.
Correct.
Other than the use of the building, but I mean, we're not, you know, the county isn't
owning it. And we're currently leasing the whole building.
Yes, correct.
At $2,400 a month, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'd like to bring up something about the out-of-the care facility. You know, your concerns with snow removal and us being able to get out there is a big concern. There's a couple other things that concern me, one of which is that we keep, you know, chemicals in our shelter, if we ever got broken, that could be a devastating thing. The other thing is people coming to the shelter. You know, we just had somebody come last Saturday from Des Plaines, Illinois, to pick up an animal. And we, our location where we're at is so perfect because people can jump off, you know, Highway 30 or I-35, and we're just there. But I also have a concern with the people that are on call at night and have to go out on animal control calls, going out there. You know, I'm going to stay in the middle of nowhere, essentially, and
right.
And you're out there by yourself, and you know, if it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're out there by yourself, I just wouldn't feel comfortable with any of my employees or myself being out there at that time of night for, you know, anything.
And I'm not positive that putting an animal shelter next to the sheriff's firing ranges would be the best.
Well, I don't, you know, yeah.
About the time you get everybody to quit barking.
Yeah, well, we, yeah. But anyway, that's just, that's some of the things, you know, that those are the concerns I have about being out there.
The insurance reviews, the fire chief visiting, what kind of things did it find that we need to be aware of?
When the fire chief came, Ray, he said that our biggest concern was we needed the lit signs at the exit. We don't have those now. We have frames up to say exit, but we don't have any of the lit signs like here. So he said lit signs. We have one door or two doors going the wrong way in and out. That would need to be repaired.
These are the interior things you're talking about now.
Right. And then we need fire extinguishers properly mounted. But other than that, there wasn't anything else. Loss and prevention came. You know, they thought it was an awesome building, and they didn't have any issues with anything. And then the third gentleman that came he did a more thorough inspection, and, you know, he said that the building was a good building, and, you know, what we were using it for was good. And, I mean, so, you know, without knowing what could happen the day after you buy the building, because that's, you know, anything, but right now we've not had any major problems, and other than wanting to maybe repair the concrete in front of the building.
We want to repair it or need to repair it?
I would think for the people who are walking in, we would need to.
I think that whole concrete underneath the overhang probably needs to be taken.
Exactly. You know, there is concrete on the east side of the building coming down, you know, for a length of cars to park across, and then there is gravel. So, you know, there's times when people have to park in the gravel, but usually they're able to accommodate just along where there is hard surface.
And we would want to, because we're not going to buy the entire property. I mean,
that's the other thing. I think
there's several acres that we're not going to buy the.
We
don't want the pond.
For many reasons, but I think the owner would rather keep the pond, which works out well. We were looking at about 4 acres, and Rick, you had brought up that you'd like to see a chain link fence kind of around the one place of it, and so we would, you know, go down the hill a little bit, and then after that it would all be the owners, and then we would go straight across from east to west.
As I was listening to your comments about the two inspectors that went out and loss control and other things, I do recall at one point Cal Pearson had talked about the need for looking at some of the wiring or the outlets and things of that nature to make sure that the load, even though we've not had issues currently, but is that still something that would be...
It's a piece of, I don't know if you call it conduit or what you... But it's something that now they're doing. They didn't do it when they built the building, but now apparently that's something that they do, and he suggested. It's not a hard fix, from what I understand. Cal maybe knows more about that. But I guess what I'm trying to say is when they came in, they didn't find anything structurally wrong with the building. They didn't find anything, you know, that caused any issues. You know, they don't make these, this is a Cleary building, but they don't make the Morton buildings like they did 40 years ago and say, well, these have a 40-year life expectancy. I mean, these buildings are now built to go a long time. And it was, I think, built in 2003. So, I mean, it's 12 years old. I think the first part maybe was 2000 or 2001, and then they added on that addition. So we're looking at 15 years old, which for that kind of building is not.
You're talking about we would use general fund dollars for half of the purchase price of the building, and then everything else, the second half, and any repairs, renovations, updating, anything like that would come out of the Friends of Animals account. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, we would pay half, and then we would go ahead and pay for, like, we're going to have to put another door in. We would pay for the addition on the west end of the building that would house livestock. You know, that account specifically says it has to be used to directly benefit the animals. And so, you know, obviously with us putting up a thing on the end, that's a benefit because we're going to be able to house the larger animals that are coming in. And, you know, inside, when we're redoing rooms that are going to make it more efficient and more comfortable for the animals, that's benefiting them. You know, I don't know a lot of concrete. I don't know where that would go. I guess getting customers in the door, it depends on how far we break this down. But, yes, we're willing to do the addition and, you know, whatever needs to be done as far as walls coming down or going up or any sort of inside stuff that needs to be done, we would pay for that also.
The only other question, if this moves forward, it now becomes a county-owned facility, what changes involves there? Part of it has to be with insurability. Have we gotten quotes or estimates as to what that might be?
No, I've not.
And then the other question is how does this factor in? I know your staff does a lot of the care and cleaning for the animals and things of this nature. Have there been any discussions with facilities in Cal in regard to what other kinds of responsibilities other than snow removal and things like that might have to be taken into consideration? I just want us to have a holistic picture as we possibly can, because the moment we move to a county-owned facility, all of those things now come under our purview.
Well, it would, of course, the snow removal would come up and the mowing. We would need custodial services inside the shelter. We do that ourselves, you know. We do our own cleaning and trash removal and sand floors and everything and seal our floors. So other than a few things, well, at the beginning, obviously, facilities was very important when they helped us get this building to where we needed it to be at, where we're at now. But we've had them come out for a few things that we've needed fixed that, you know, girls can't do, I guess. But we, other than that, you know, we do most of our maintenance. We even had somebody lock themselves. They locked our bathroom door yesterday when they walked out, so we couldn't get into our bathroom for the public. We even figured out how to take everything off and get it open, put it back together. We were really proud of ourselves. So I don't think there's going to be a lot of extra, you know, work that's going to burden facilities management other than, like, it's going to be the outside stuff.
Sure.
And I can't say that we're never going to call and say, well, you know, could you do this for us? I mean, if it's something they don't do or they're busy, obviously we would call an outside person to do it. But that's all I see.
Well, our facilities director is in the back, so we'll have him come up and see if he has any, maintenance-wise, if he has any concerns about the additional workload on his staff. Because currently the landlord is the one that takes care of the snow removal and the mowing. But basically, your guys aren't involved on a regular basis out there at all at this point, are they, Cal?
That's correct. And with the discussions we've had also of possibly the COP building leaving county property and we assuming more duties with conservation, I would not have anybody available to help Sue. She would have to contract out unless we're going to consider adding the facility staff at this time. So she would have to stay on a contract basis with whoever. So that's...
And you're talking as far as...
anything that she needs done there, basically.
Okay.
Snow removal is a little problematic out there. It takes a different... we'd have to keep one truck and plow set up specifically for that, since there's a lot of gravel type.
Right, it's not a paved surface.
So it's not paved like our other ones, so that would be a little bit of an inconvenience for us, but we could probably work into the schedule, but it's just something extra for us.
Sure.
Any way to work the lawn care in?
We do our best. That's
I'm just curious what the schedule looks like. I know that yeah. You know, we've determined you're going to start picking up some of the conservation.
We won't do any lawn
right.
work out there, so I don't know how much there is to do out there. That
can't bring any sheep off yet there, huh? To kind of take care of, help with the lawn and the grazing.
Well, it could. I don't know how that would be with planning and zoning.
And just for the record, this facility is not located in the city limits of Nevada.
Correct.
You would look at it and think that it would be, but it's actually
not. Yeah, it's not. He had a choice, since he owned from the highway to the railroad tracks, that he does not have to be included in the city of Nevada.
Right.
And so that he was told by the city council on a couple different occasions that that would never happen, since he owned the property all the way back to the railroad.
Okay. Yeah, hard to say never, because the way it ultimately would happen is if Nevada ever were to annex north of the railroad tracks, they would don't see it happening anytime soon, but you can't have an island.
You can't have an island.
But never's a long, long time.
Right.
So, Mr. Chair, what... are you proposing an action?
Well, yeah, we need an action to for us to pursue the purchase. And if we're going to do that, I would ask the vice chair to work with the county attorney's office in the negotiation with the current owner for the purchase price of the facility. And you have to work. I mean, we're going to have it surveyed, because we're going to split that. You know, there'll be a split in the parcel. And so if you could put that on your schedule, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm absolutely. If that's where we move, that's where we go. I want to make sure we're clear on a couple of things if we go ahead with this. Because, Paul, you rightly note, originally I thought, I felt pretty strongly that we could do better. And as I dug through this, I found out, no, that, you know, while there's some inherent issues, we're not going to do any better. We happen to have a great animal control department. Part of that is the facility. Part of that is having a really a readily available, accessible facility. I could not find a way to do anything better. So I'm in support of us trying to acquire this building. I want to make sure that we're completely clear, though, that if we acquire this building, it becomes county property. And even though we have the Friends of Animal account, which is very clearly set up to the benefit of animals, it's still a county property. That account is still managed by this board of supervisors, even though it's very direct what it can be used for. And so we're not going to get into a situation where that building just starts changing without there being plenty of conversation about what happens and how it happens, especially if we're going to ask facilities management to be involved in any of that. Which I'm with Cal. I'm not convinced that there's time to do that with current staffing and what we put on their plate. So we've got some inherent issues, but we very clearly have a deadline of July 1st that we need to have something done. And so with that, I will move that this board pursue the acquisition of the property that we currently lease for animal control.
Second.
A motion and a second to pursue the acquisition of the property that's currently the Surrey County Animal Shelter. Is there anything further? Sanders.
Aye.
Clinton.
Aye.
Stute.
Aye.
There you go. That's the first step. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Department reports. IRBM quarter report. Joe.
Wake up, Joe!
I'm good. No. I'm late. I'm not good.
Brought a prop. Oh,
I'll be right back.
Okay. Nobody can clear a room like Joe.
Or fill it up at 9, let me tell you. Sometimes 12 years.
Are you coming tomorrow for the township meeting?
You know what? I hate to say this, but I'm going to be missed. At the places I visit, I've already been asked to make a speech. But I have a Living Roadway Trust Fund committee tomorrow. And I'll wait for Rick to get back. I'll get this thing fired up. But I do want to be there. It'll be the first one I missed in like a while.
Why don't you bring your prop right around and lean it up against your desk there so we can.
Will do. Help. It's sleeping. What'd you do? Break a hip?
Be sharpened. That definitely seems to be an antique. I have one of those. Yeah, I remember that. I don't have one anymore.
I've got one that's what I used to cut my hair, but no handle on it, no handle for it. But that one looks a little bigger.
Thank God we live on that red Alabama clay with no grass through.
Can videotape it. I need to let the board know. Thanks for having me here.
We're doing all we can in IRBM. I'm a fixer-upper. I believe in making do with what we have, always have. Try to get that point of diminishing return. You don't want to ruin, you know, good with perfect, but we pulled this out of the dumpster, and I think it's going to be, you know, Sue, where'd she go? this could be an ask for a challenge deal.
I like Wayne's idea of sheep. Bring it over there.
All right. I don't know if that's worth on the Google or the eBay, but, you know, I seriously have never ran one.
I have.
All right.
You get your workout in, baby.
Yeah. So, I was here in October. Rick, do you remember the last thing that you said to me before I left?
Bring more props.
No.
Oh, okay.
It was go get some planting done.
Okay, good. Did you go get some planting done?
Yeah. All right. And I'll kind of go through that. But right here, 25 years ago, that's what I looked like in the middle. Yeah.
Don't
you see that?
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah. Good.
Crazy, huh? Big glasses. They were free. That's what we wore back in the day. So, update. There's the old logo, Story County Vegetation Management. We used to have that on our shirt. And, of course, Tyler, he helped all the time. So, his name's in here. And planting. So, this would be around the Jeanette property. They did a little work, and they're working down there now if you're up with the conservation, right, Wayne, doing that oxbow?
Yeah.
So we hit it pretty hard, and the conservation staff, they have some extra monies in the additional, I call it summer help, but it's seasonal help line item. And they transferred some of that over to my staff, so we were able to keep folks on, you know, a couple days a week. Two people, which allowed two crews of two. And we were able to, for the first time in several years, get caught up on the projects that that Darren Moon, the engineer, and his department got. And it was a wonderful fall. Remember how nice it was? Good weather. That's a typical regrade. You see these. This would be, just to let you know, a spot where Tyler would probably take the tractor and a disc or a harrow and lightly work the ground, and then I would come back and seed it with the hydro seeder, and then he'd pack it. It works real quick that way if we can work in tandem. Everything we seeded gets a cover crop of winter wheat, and a lot of that grew this fall already. That's important to get it to grow a few inches to break dormancy, so it ought to look like a chia pet in the next couple months. You know, we want to keep that soil. We want to stabilize things. I'll keep moving. Brush, we talk about that a lot. We've tried to hire contractors to spray roadside brush. There's not a lot of contractors out there. This year we tried to do it in-house, and, you know, we got 78 miles done, which is about a township, and that was Washington Township around the Ames area. However, we do get more areas in that done. There's calls that come in. You can see this is a sign that's blocked, things like that. And again, our staff is certified and trained, and we have good equipment that is calibrated. So, but we are going to look at some different staffing opportunities for, you know, get a couple different crews out instead of just one crew, because 71 miles, the average is about 130. And what happened was this year, we went into the drainage districts because we had to do that, you know, to keep up on some of the money that we levied. So we hit drainage districts and sprayed the re-sprouts. And that takes quite a bit of time. So we only, you know, you learn as you go. So if we're going to keep up on the brush spraying in-house, we're going to have two crews, one for the drainage districts and one for roadsides. The harvest was something we wrapped up. We had a great year. You can see kind of both combines going here. Well, you can see me in the tractor and the fort in the background. About 220 pounds of usable seed. And I go through that. We bag it and tag it. And then I get a nerd scope out and look at the seed versus chaff and weigh it out. And I'm pretty confident that 220 pounds of usable seed is accurate. Then we actually harvested some drop seed and some little blue stem. If you add that up and even downsize the amount per pound compared to what, you know, the private sector gets, and this is just in-house and we use it on our properties, okay, roadsides and our other wildlife areas. Nothing goes, we don't sell it, we just keep it in-house. It's about $6,000. And that's a pretty conservative number. So we had a good year. After the harvest, after the planting, well, I guess I should back up the planting a little bit and let you know, in November, we did about 9 or 10 sites. Those are those construction projects you see, for about 8 or 9 acres, okay? But if you think about how many times we go over it and seed it with two different seed mixes, we really can't say it's still 9 acres of total disturbed ground, but we seeded it a few different times. So it takes quite a bit. And the other thing also, board, is the road department did quite a bit of work on roadsides that have, it's that rural urban interface where you have yards. So when you have turf grass, it's a little more, it's different. You know, you just don't seed it and leave it rough. We got it, you know, if they had it mowed before we got there, we got to leave it so they can mow it when we leave. So it was a little labor intensive. This is our favorite project. If you remember, this is Hamilton Story 1. This is some of the brush piles that were left. Those are gone. We burnt those before the big snow back in the day, this winter. There's one little pile left that we need to gather up and get rid of. But we hit that when the weather was nice, we had in December. So that's Hamilton Story 1, just about wrapped up. This is Tyler down in Waders, and I just kind of want to show you what we've been doing since November up until Friday. Now, the crew's out today, but they're burning brush piles, okay? This is Grant 5. This is south of Highway 30. As you go diagonally toward Shipley. This is one of the bigger trees. So this is typically what we've been doing, is getting in waders, cutting it down, and then we get the chain on it and haul it out so there's nothing in the river itself. Again, burning brush piles. You can see it was kind of sunny. We got to have water with you. You don't really know what's going to happen. That CRP lit up, even though there's snow on the ground. But that's kind of the process. You can see the grapple bucket that we built that works fine. You know, so that's kind of how it goes. Hi, Tyler. He's looking at me as I'm taking pictures. Just kind of give you an example of what we're doing. This is my weight loss training session going up the bank. So that's kind of how it works. I'm half ninja, but I do get tired doing that after a while. About 4 or 5 hours, and that's about all you get. Again, cutting trees. You can see the steep bank. This will let you know. So that's Grant, Open Ditch 5. And some more. There you have it. A lot of that. That's what we don't want to leave, you see. Mm-hmm. And we did back in the day. We thought that was good enough to leave some of that, but you got to grab it, or else it's going to float down and hit a bridge. In-house projects cutting, again, Warren 11, we wanted to get back to that. I don't think we're going to get there. We're on, still on Grant 5. Hardin Story 3, we haven't done much. Story, they're down there burning right now, the Boone Story number 1. And then we sprayed the re-sprouts, obviously, in those townships too. So tomorrow, please, if there is anyone asking about working in the open ditches, we did spray the re-sprouts in Warren 11, Grant 5, and Milford 32. There's a couple folks that always hit me up for that, but we did. We pulled our weight. Hey, guess what? There's a new truck. That replaced the old number 51. So we got a toolbox. We got all the emergency lights on it. It's a flatbed. It'll work real well. You got a king cab so you can get a couple people in there and your stuff. So thanks, Ford, for allowing me to get that. We did end up getting about $2,000 out of the old one. One thing I forgot to fix that we were reminded of, when you turn the headlights on, the engine quit. But we remedied that with that guy. Private lands. I will plant any time of the year, okay? Breaking new ground with this, and I'll keep track of it. Basically, as long as the sun hits the seed and it goes down as a frost seeding and the mice don't eat it, we're good. So, a lot of CRP going in. A lot.
Good.
We have, some landowners and operators, producers that are putting in 150 acres at a time. So, we got to make sure these drills are ready to go. And I do have now a volunteer who is a mechanic, retired. And he's helping us out on Friday mornings from 8 to noon. And he's going through these things. And we'll pull the equipment in, let it warm up on Thursday night so he can work on it. And it's really helping out. And the volunteer, without volunteers, I don't know how we survive. Last but not least, we have to have an IRVM plan finished by about May. May 1st. So the last one was done. I think Jane Halliburton signed it back in the day. This is the outline specified through the DOT. It's quite significant, okay? A lot to go through. You'll have input. Wayne, I know you've heard me talk about it at my update. A lot of that's filler, but then, the easy part is just what we do and what you expect us to do. And so we better chat about that before it's final. What's on the horizon? Finish winter cutting and the DDs, burning piles, and pushing buffer strips. I got a text message from Tyler late yesterday. We need you in the office promoting buffer strips because the more we cut and get the brush out, the more we see crops getting closer and the CRP is at its all-time high rental rate. So let's get some folks signed up. IRVM plan, interview seasonal staff, burn season's coming up, planting, we got to get some grants going, and preparation for spray season. And that, I do believe...
We need more buffer strips.
Is it?
I mean, it's that simple.
Got it?
Yeah.
And, it's happening. A lot of the CRP that I talk about, unfortunately, is not CRP, is not buffer strip. The buffer strip program has an acronym, and I won't go through that, but it's continuous sign-up, which means you can always sign up for it. Some programs have limits. The farmable wetlands, WRP, things like that. The state has limits. There's only so many acres that we can get in Story County or Hardin or Hamilton. Buffer strips along creeks and open ditches are continuous. There's no limit. So, yes. Need to get more signed up. And I agree with the county care facility area, the old county home.
Your home.
My home. It gets pretty loud out there with the firearm training and stuff. I'm not sure that the pets would enjoy that.
Probably not.
Anyway, boy, thanks for having me. Thanks for my 25-year deal.
Yeah. Thanks, Joe. We appreciate you, man.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
All right.
More buffer strips. Rock on.
Public forum number two, comments from the public on items not on the agenda. The board may not take any action on a comment that is required for the open meeting law, but maybe so in the future. I don't see anybody moving the mic. Liaison assignments. Wayne.
I met with Carla yesterday. Had a very good meeting. We discussed several items. One was the item that dealt with the contract that was on the agenda today. She talked about with the detox and the changes that needed to be put in place there. We also talked about the employment of Wendy Smith, who is going to be replacing Janice McConnell, and she'll be coming on here in a few weeks. Janice will stay on a couple weeks to train her and so forth. And we had some just general discussions about the meeting that she had with Deb and the Sheriff's Department with John and so forth regarding jail diversion. And we'll be hearing more from Deb a little bit later about where we are with that. And we talked about possibly some of the changes and the role that the regions will play as we try to enhance the jail diversion program, discussion the potentially of the most feasible place for the location of this person as we move forward. So that's yet to be determined. But all in all, it was just kind of a discussion, too, about the region's role as we are trying to move forward and expand services. I threw in a little bit of talk about crisis center and what that might mean for the region, particularly as it relates to children's mental health and so forth. There was discussion about an advocate. The City of Ames has a person similar to what we have in jail diversion, but it's a different type of program, and how we might get the region to move that person from a part-time to a full-time, and then expand services, and then in working with Optimae, there's a likelihood that we could have either up to two people or one and a half persons. So there's some moving parts there that we'll hear more about at a later time. And I was just so appreciative of that Carla is really staying on top of things and working very diligently. And we all know that she'll be taking a medical leave here shortly. But she feels that she has people in place to make sure that things continue to operate very effectively.
Pat. Wayne. Announcement.
I'm just going to be out of the office the next couple of days. I'll be down at the Capitol tomorrow. There's a juvenile justice reform and legislation that's going to be proposed by a keynote speaker that was at the NAACP the other last Friday. And they will walk folks through engaging the legislators regarding some of the criminal justice initiatives. Also, our children's mental health work group, we presented our final report to the House a couple weeks ago committee. It was very well received. We will be presenting to the Senate committee on our 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Hopefully that will go as well. And several of us who were on the committee was asked to be there in case there was some additional questions that we might get from Senate representatives. And then the supervisors exec board that I sit on will meet tomorrow evening at 5:30. And then on Thursday is the all-day supervisor school at the Embassy Suites, and we've got an exciting program lined up. And then on Friday I will be at the ISAC Board of Directors meeting. So other than that, that's about it.
Well, Dwayne, thanks for representing us. I've got my first meeting of the ISAC Water Quality Group that's coming together to try to work with Governor Branstad and the legislature to make sure we take some positive steps on water quality issues. So that'll be interesting to see how that first meeting goes Thursday afternoon.
Okay.
I participated in a conference call yesterday afternoon with a couple of representatives from the Interstate Environmental Response Trust Fund, and this was in regards to our discussion during Margaret James's quarterly report from Environmental Health about the, which was the dairy, formerly the Dairy Queen here in Nevada, and before that it was a deep rock station owned by Kerr McGee. There was also a representative from the DNR for their underground storage tank division. The report that we'd initially received from the DNR did include all the information that would have been helpful to have at the time. According to the representatives from this response trust fund, they have installed three test wells on that property. One of the test wells is actually on the property just to the south of it, which is a private residence. There was some activity there a couple of weeks ago where they vacuumed the water out of these test wells, collected about 65 gallons of water. Their initial tests show that the number of the chemicals they were concerned about has decreased. They've also done water samples inside the private residence for the water coming out of the tap. They've done some confined space tests for vapors and haven't found any traces of any of the chemicals in the water or in the air in those spaces underneath the house. I believe they said they were going to come back again in this month and do some more work, and then again in March, and then they'll be back in about 8 months after that to finish up. And both the representatives from the trust fund and the representatives from the DNR were very optimistic that once they returned in 8 months, then they would be able to take this site off their list. So there had been work done there. The groundwater, there is no tank there. There was some confusion whether the tank was still in the ground. The tank is no longer in the ground. They believe that Kerr McGee removed that tank in 1982 when they sold that property. So the one question I had is if Kerr McGee sold the property in 82, how come nobody found out about this until just recently? And the response from the DNR was that the state wasn't tracking those tanks until 1986. So it didn't hit the radar then. When it was sold in 2004, it was a restaurant. It wasn't being used as a gas station, so it didn't trigger any required tests at that time. And I think what happened was when they tried to sell it at auction here a year or so ago, they did some tests at that point and then discovered that these chemicals were present. So.
Well, I'm glad that it's good. It's better than we were told.
Right. Yes.
I don't think that eliminates our responsibility to do exactly what we've done. We heard there was a potential problem, and we tried to dig into it, and I'm happy to hear that it's not as bad as we were told and that they expect it to continue to improve. But again, I think we're just doing what we're supposed to be doing.
Absolutely.
And,
yep.
I guess rattling some cages.
And that worked because we emailed a letter to the DNR and they responded. And I took a phone call Thursday afternoon from this trust fund and they wanted to set up the conference call. So.
And thank you for continuing to follow through with that. Appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Move adjournment.
Second.
And all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. We're adjourned.